are Locked On Giants, your daily San Francisco Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name's Ben Kaspic, and on this show, we provide episodes 3 days a week for now, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple, passionate, and accessible to all. Coming up on today's show, I finally want to talk about the plan for Major League Baseball coming into spring training. There was always, of course, speculation that COVID could cause a delay with spring training, but instead, things are proceeding as planned, as scheduled. So we'll talk all about what's going to happen, what the key dates are. And I also want to answer some listener questions on today's show. I'm a former contributor for the baseball analysis sites Beyond the Box Score and Fangraphs as a Rotographs contributor, and I've been podcasting about the Giants since 2015. So the big news, and we haven't actually had a chance to get to it, and we've known about this for a while now, is that spring training is starting on time. The Giants and most other teams are reporting on February 17th. Yes, that's right, a week from yesterday. So we're just a few days here away from the start of spring training. On February 8th, MLB and the Players Association reached an agreement on health and safety protocols, and this was a vitally important step that needed to be done prior to the start of spring training. So, you know, I read through all the ins and outs of these protocols, and it's pretty thorough. I mean, players, anyone who's reporting to spring training has to quarantine for 5 days before their report date. So, you know, since they're reporting on the 17th, that means that tomorrow they have to start quarantining. They're going to be tested at least every other day. Vaccinations are going to be optional but encouraged by both MLB and the Players Association. And there's a lot else here. One of the big highlights that people are going to have a reaction to, a lot of people at least, is that we are going to see the same extra innings rule and the same doubleheader rule that we saw last year. So that extra inning rule is very controversial, and it is that starting in the 10th inning, teams begin their half inning with a runner on second base. This ultimately, I mean, I don't know. I don't have the data. I'm sure MLB has done some focus groups or whatever, but my general feeling is that people don't like this. But my personal opinion, and I've seen other prominent baseball analysts have the same opinion, including like Alex Pavlovich, who covers the Giants for NBC Sports Bay Area. They've said that they actually like this extra innings rule, and I agree. I think, especially in this pandemic environment, we can't be having 17-inning games. And the extra inning rule, to me, provided a lot of excitement, actually, and some of the Giants' most entertaining wins of the year. Specifically that game against the Dodgers in which Donovan Solano hit a walk-off home run. That action was fueled by that runner on second base to start each extra inning. So like it or not, I can respect either opinion, but it is here for 2021. And I would imagine that 2 years in a row of having this, it's definitely possible that this could be a permanent rule. The other rule, which I actually liked less, was the 7-inning doubleheaders. So the idea there is that some games may end up getting canceled or postponed due to COVID. So if a team has an outbreak and they have to miss several games in a row, which happened to a couple of teams last year, the Marlins and the Cardinals specifically, they had to play a bunch of doubleheaders. And so shortening the games to 7 innings was just to, you know, it was ultimately to protect the players. And I had a love-hate relationship with this 7-inning doubleheader thing. On the one hand, the Giants did very poorly in these doubleheaders overall. Their worst loss of the year, that Trent Grisham walk-off home run at Oracle Park, was in the bottom of the 7th inning at home, which the whole situation was just messed up. Perhaps that's skewing my opinion of these doubleheaders. But on the other hand, I found myself thinking by the seventh inning that it felt like a complete game in some ways. And it almost felt absurd that we normally play nine. I know that's going to sound out there and wild to a lot of people, but just I've been following baseball as my number one passion in life, my entire life. And so I'm not just some outsider saying, hey, just shorten the games. Why do we even play nine? But I am saying, you know, watching 162 games a year, I think for the benefit of the sport, we need to pick up the pace a little bit. And somehow the seven-inning games did that in a way. At the same time, I am not proposing that we just make games seven innings, but it is an interesting mix of feeling like, okay, a full game has been played by the time you reach the seventh versus, you know, if you lose in the seventh, it's really gut-wrenching because you felt like you should have had a couple more opportunities. So anyway, those rules are here to stay, but the big takeaway is that, you know, pitchers and catchers report to spring training on the 17th. The first full squad workouts will be on Monday, February 22nd. So just over a week from now, about a week and a half. So the other news is that the Giants have gotten permission from the city of Scottsdale to host like 750 to 1,000 fans per game at Scottsdale Stadium. The normal capacity of that stadium is about 12,000. So a much smaller number of fans than would normally be there. And that's exciting. I mean, I think it's probably pretty safe if they're going to mandate that people spread out and they're going to sell tickets in pods of like two or four. So outdoors, you're going to be required to wear a mask, but the first opportunity to buy tickets will go to Scottsdale Stadium Giants spring training season ticket holders. Or maybe it's Giants season ticket holders. I don't know. I'm not one of either, so I didn't pay too much attention to that. But just know you will be able to go to these games if you want to go on StubHub or if you're a season ticket holder and you have that first access. Or you can buy directly from the Giants after the season ticket holders have their opportunity. But anyway, spring training is going to start on time. Health and safety protocols are agreed to. Regular season is going to start on time, allegedly. And we're going to have a full 162-game season. That's the plan. I have optimism for that. I'm excited about that. I know you are too. Hopefully, at Oracle Park, they can eventually have fans in there this season as well. So the last thing I want to say, and we've talked about this a lot, but it does appear that we're not going to have the DH in the National League this year, and that the postseason is going to remain at 10 teams, which is what it was prior to the 2020 season when it was expanded for just that 1 year. It still remains possible that things could change just like they did at the last minute last year, and we could have the DH in the NL, we could have expanded postseason, but for now, those are not going to change. So coming up next, I want to actually just get into the mailbag. We had some holdover questions from last week that I would like to answer. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing with baseball right around the corner. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. They even cover awards, TV shows, and reality TV. They've got real-time, updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Use that promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. One reason to repair and maintain your cars is to save money that you can then use on more important things like the mortgage or food. So why would you choose to spend 30, 50, or even 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or new car dealership? Random example, a fuel pump assembly for a 2005 to 2010 Honda Odyssey costs $353.99 at Advance, a big chain store, and just $216.79 at rockauto.com. RockAuto.com is for everybody and doesn't require membership or even account logins. Best of all, they're a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. All right, here in the second half of the show, as I said, I want to get to some of the questions left over from last week's mailbag. Before we dive into that, I just have to say, you can get more of the sports news you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. It's absolutely a must listen, hosted by Peter Bukowski. Locked On Today is a daily podcast breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get podcasts. So just going back to the mailbag, Cobert Gobert asks, would you care to expand on why we should buy into certain 60-game season stats, like offense, and why we shouldn't for others? I think you've mentioned that the offense didn't look fluky. What would a fluky offense look like? It's a really good question, and it's a pretty complicated answer for me. It's kind of, to me, I take all the information beyond just the numbers themselves. Like, for example, the Giants bring in these new hitting coaches, and you can visibly see certain players make adjustments to their swings. Austin Slater is a guy who comes to mind immediately as someone who just had a different stance and a different swing, and the way he was able to drive the ball was just completely different than what I've seen from Austin Slater in his Giants career prior to 2020. Brandon Crawford had a different swing. His setup was just completely different, and he had a rebound season. So then, knowing what we know about the hitting coaches coming in, and then looking at what these players were able to do, and seeing how team-wide, they performed extremely well, and you had players like Darren Ruff and Wilmer Flores. Just consistently, this team hit for so much more power than they have in recent years, and there's a clear explanation for that. And then you look at the numbers themselves, and there's not just something totally unsustainable that drove the offensive performance. And what would something unsustainable look like? Well, batting average on balls in play is certainly something that comes to mind. And there is one player whose success is largely driven by this metric, and that's Donovan Solano. So we've talked about him a ton, and the fact that what he's been able to do doesn't ultimately look sustainable. And I've mentioned that doesn't mean he's not good, it doesn't mean he's a bad player, but it means the level that he's been performing at, I wouldn't expect him to be able to sustain that level of performance unless he adds some kind of other skill, like if he starts walking more or if he starts hitting for more power. Certain players certainly performed above the level that I would expect them to repeat. Like Mike Yastrzemski, it would be hard for him to sustain what he did in 2020. And part of what drove his success was a higher then we would expect to continue batting average on balls in play. That being said, there's a lot else going on with his performance that would still make him a really quality player. He hit for a lot of power, and there's really not much showing me that that wouldn't continue. And his walk rate jumped up significantly. There's also expected stats, courtesy of StatCast and Baseball Savant. So we can see if somebody like massively outperformed their expected numbers based on the quality of contact. And that wasn't really the case. I mean, some guys were slightly higher, like Yastrzemski, as I'm saying, doesn't see him being 60% above average offensively. But even if he's like 25, 30% above average, that's still something you're thrilled about if you're the Giants. So it's just the combination of the numbers and the StatCast numbers backing it up, and knowing that the influence of the hitting coaches is something that explains what we've seen, especially when we visibly see changes in the swings and stances and approach. Approach is something that we know that they've taught also, and I could visibly see it. I'm sure there are numbers to back this up. Giants were way more selective and super aggressive when they had pitches to hit, and we saw that team-wide, and that's not something that we saw in previous years from this team. So I guess a fluky offense would be like if they didn't have new hitting coaches, they didn't visibly change anything with their swings or approaches, and there were just some numbers that drove the unsustainability, like a high average on balls in play, a unsustainable home run to fly ball ratio, an ERA that dramatically overperformed a fielding independent pitching, stuff like that. Pac Bell Partisan asks, who's the player you think is most likely to be traded or DFA'd on the current 40-man? I think at this point, the Giants have not announced the signing of Jake McGee, and their 40-man is full, so just like with La Stella, it took them forever to announce it. It probably has something to do with not wanting to have to make a corresponding 40-man move to get McGee on there. So at this point, I believe the Giants, once spring training opens, so maybe even on the 17th, I do not know for sure what the exact date is, but they can put players on the 60-day injured list, which clears up a 40-man roster spot. And they have a couple players who can immediately go on that 60-day injured list, like John Brebbia, who isn't supposed to be back until July or so, and Alexander Canario, who dislocated his shoulder, and even Tyler Beede, potentially. So I'm not sure anyone's going to get traded or DFA'd, but I'll still answer the question anyway. Just glancing through it, I think Trevor Gott is kind of fringy on this roster at this point. He had the terrible season in 2020, and he's out of minor league options. So if he doesn't perform well in spring, and they don't judge spring training based on like results. They judge it more on the, you know, velocity you're able to get. You know, they have their own evaluation tools, but it's not just like what's your earned run average in spring. But if they don't think he's good enough to crack the opening day roster, being out of options, he's a guy who would have to be DFA'd or traded. Deadniel Nunez might be the likeliest of all as a Rule 5 pick. Similar to Trevor Gott, if they just don't think he has it in spring, he very well could be, you know, traded or DFA'd and offered back to the Mets. Another guy who's kind of fringy is Steven Duggar, but he does have minor league options remaining, so he can just be sent to the minors, and that improves his chances of surviving any kind of roster crunch. Darren Ruff is kind of tough to fit on the opening day roster. Ideally, that would be a left-handed platoon guy there in that kind of spot, but I don't think they're just going to DFA Ruff, but they could definitely look for a trade partner potentially. Quickly, Steven asks, are there any prospects that have a legitimate chance of making the opening day roster? And I would say yes, and the guys who do, I would say, are Camilo Duvall, who's a right-handed relief pitcher on the 40-man roster. He was added to protect him from the Rule 5 draft this winter. And Lamont Wade Jr., I don't know if you consider him a prospect or not. He's played a little bit in the major leagues, but I think he's an old prospect, but left-handed outfielder, has a shot of making the opening day roster. Jason Vossler could make the roster, but probably only if there's an injury. All right, that is all the time we have for today. If you like this show, please consider rating it or leaving a review wherever it is that you're listening. That helps me out so much. So thank you in advance, and thank you to everyone who's done so already. Once again, my name is Ben Kaspic. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Kaspic. That's K-A-S-P-I-C-K. Have a great weekend. We'll be back next week. Eventually, we'll go back to being a 5 days a week show, but we're still 3 days a week, at least through the end of February. So I can't wait to be with you again next week. We'll come back with an emergency podcast if the Giants make a significant move between now and then. So until then, we'll see you next time.